I guess if you came out on a cold night like tonight, you're looking to engage and to wake up your neshama, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We'll talk mostly about Chanukah, but I want to begin with the opening pasuk of this week's parsha. Vayehi miketz shnosayim yamim uparo cholem, v'hinei omer al hayor. It was at the end of 2 years to the day that Paro had a dream. He was standing by the river. And of course, the exciting story of Parshas Miketz begins to unfold. There's an amazing insight from Rav Meir Permishlan. Rav Meir Permishlan was one of the tzaddikim who lived in the early part of the 19th century. And Rav Meir Permishlaner says that his father once had an aliyas neshama. Now, if that sounds like a very lofty thing, the truth is, it says in Shulchan Aruch that when we daven Shmon Esrei, we should also be able to do that. I've personally never experienced it, but something to strive for. Where you can literally have an out-of-body experience where your neshama ascends above, and you have access to see things in the world beyond this world. So Rav Meir Permishlaner says, my father told me he once experienced aliyas neshama, and at that time that he was up in the Olamos, the Olam Emes, he saw two people who were entering into the world of truth. One appeared to be quite young, one appeared to be quite old, and he was surprised to find that the young one was referred to as the Zaken. They kept referring to him as the Zaken. And the one who appeared old, they kept referring to him as the kid. And he couldn't understand exactly why that was. So he asked them, we're in source number 2 in the fourth line, Vayishal, so I requested, this is the world, I asked, I said, what's going on here? What kind of late sonnus is this? What's with these jokes? Why are you calling the old person the kid? The child? Why are you calling the child the old man? And it was told to me in the world of truth, that's exactly the way it truly is. This young person, the soul that appears to be a young soul, is in fact a very aged soul. Because in this short lifetime that this person was granted, they accomplished tremendous things. And what this person accomplished in a day is what many people don't accomplish in a year. But this elderly soul, you know why it's referred to as the child? You know why in Olam Emes they refer to this soul as the childish soul? Because more or less this person didn't accomplish all that much in the 80 years that he or she was granted. V'im kein yeled miskeinu. And therefore, paraphrasing the pasuk, Yelid Miskein is like a poor child, like an impoverished child, one who was never able to maximize one's potential. So said Rav Meir Permishlaner, that's perhaps what's hinted to in the opening pasuk of this week's parsha. Vayehi miketz shnasayim yamim. V'siyim Rav Meir zal. Rav Meiril, as they refer to him, Rav Meiril, the little L, the loving L at the end, Rav Meiril. Rav Meiril said, Ein vayehi elitzara. We know from the Medrash that vayehi usually signals something less than ideal. Vayehi, what's going to be the tzara? What's the tragedy? Tzara gedolahi, kishemiketz, sofchai adam. When a person reaches the ketz, when I reach my end, az kol shenosav enam kiyim shnasayim yamin. How sad it will be, vayehi miketz, how sad, what a tzara, vayehi, lashon of tzara. How sad it will be when a person miketz, when they reach the ketz, the end of one's life, and all it adds up to is shnasayim yamim. It all adds up to a couple of days. It didn't add up to years. Ach yamim mu'atim, says Rav Meir Permishlaner. How sad that is. For a person to not maximize, to have slept through life, so to speak, as we're going to talk about tonight. It's very interesting. We know that on Rosh Hashanah, there's a practice that's based on Kabbalah, but it finds its way into halachic sources, that a person is not supposed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. It's based on a Yerushalmi, really. The Talmud Yerushalmi says if a person sleeps in Rosh Hashanah, you're going to have a sleepy year. And there's different opinions, you know, how to deal with that, practically, especially for those who like to take a good nap on a Yontav afternoon. Okay, different ways to deal with it. The Arizal is quoted by the Magen Avraham in Sorfos Rosh Hashanah, who says that maybe after Chatzos you're allowed to sleep, maybe it's just in the morning, you shouldn't sleep in on Rosh Hashanah morning. That makes a lot of sense to us, I imagine. But by the afternoon, you've already finished davening, the tekiyos shofar has taken place, so now maybe it's an okay time to sleep. And he cites the opinion that some, in fact, did that. And then the Magen Avraham uses a phrase that's picked up and used by other halachic sources and tzaddikim throughout the generations. It's unclear exactly what the source of this phrase is, but it's a rabbinic idiom, v'hayoshev batel ki yashen dami. And in case you think it's just about falling asleep while sitting on the couch reading People magazine all afternoon on Rosh Hashanah is also not the greatest idea. Hayoshev batel, a person who's not engaged in meaningful activity, that's also kiyoshein dami. That's like a person who's sleeping. I saw the Baba Verebi, the Kedusha Sion, the great tzaddik who was killed, died on Kiddush Hashem. So he says, I don't understand this Maimer Chazal. It's an interesting, the phraseology is a little interesting. Yoshev batel ki yoshein dami? Yoshev batel, one who sits aimlessly, is like one who sleeps? What exactly does that mean? So he says, what Chazal are actually hinting to is sitting around and doing nothing is even worse than sleeping. You know why? Yoshev batel, a person who sits around doing nothing, he's ki yoshein dami. He's like one who sleeps, but he's not even the same as the one. He's similar to ke, the chaf, the dimyon. He's similar to the one who sleeps. Because a person who sleeps, at least he gains something from sleeping. If you sleep, you wake up, you're refreshed, you're energized, right? While sleeping is certainly not a goal in life, but sleep is purposeful. But a person who's yoshev batel, he doesn't even have the benefit of sleeping. So a person who's yoshev batel, a person who, God forbid, is wasting one's potential, right? He's not even yoshein, he's ki yoshein dami. He's like one who sleeps. The Baba Rebbe brings an interesting remez ledavar, take it or leave it. He says, yoshev batel is gematria 359. And he says, yoshein is 360. So it's close, but it's not even it. Sitting around doing nothing is not even as meaningful as taking a good shluff on the couch. But again, the goal is that a Jew should be alert in this world. And that's what we're signaling to ourselves, more than to God, to ourselves in Rosh Hashanah. As I enter into a new year, I want to be a Jew who's awake. I want to be a Jew who's alert. You come to this time of the year, Chodesh Kislev, it gets dark nice and early. You can catch a nice early marv. You can be in bed by who knows what time if you really enjoy a good shluff. It's cold outside. And there's a lot of reasons why a person gets into sort of a sleepy state this time of the year. And Chanukah comes in response to that sleepiness and tries to push back a little bit. Chanukah tries to wake us up a bit. Let's learn a cryptic statement from the Sefer Yetzirah, source number 4. A cryptic statement from Sefer Yetzirah, one of the earliest Kabbalistic works, where the Sefer Yetzirah tells us how every month has different things that are associated with it. We're going to see what I mean by things right away. The Sefer Yetzirah writes in source number 4, Himlich os Samach b'sheina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the letter Samach, of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu attached it in some way to Shena, the action of sleep. Every month has a corresponding action to it. So the letter Samach is apparently associated with sleep. V'kesher lo keser v'tzar fin zeh b'zeh v'tzar behem keshes ba'olam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu attached the mazel, the astrological sign for sleep and for the letter Samach is the keshes, is the bow, is the archer. V'kislev b'shana. And when do all these things come together? From a calendar perspective, in the month of Kislev, the keva benefesh zachar nekeva. And the keva, which is part of the stomach, which is the body part of the month. So you have, again, let's review. You have the month of Kislev, the letter Samach, the action or emotion for the month is sleeping, the mazel, the astrological sign, is the keshes, the bow, and the body part that somehow corresponds to this month is the keva, is part of the stomach. Now, it's very exciting. You learn the Sefer Yetzirah and you're trying to put together this puzzle. Baruch Hashem, we have Svarim that do a lot of the work for us. One of the great Svarim is the Bnei Yisachar, the Tzvi Eli Melech of Dinov, whose whole Sefer revolves around making sense of each month and revealing to us the secrets encoded in this cryptic words of the Sefer Yetzirah. But if you look in source number 5, you look in the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Brachos actually tells us what the various body parts. The Gemara has a whole discussion about the kidneys, and the Gemara goes off on a tangent towards the end of Maseches Brachos about what each of the body parts serves to do. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan Klayos Yoetzos, the kidneys offer advice. Lev Mevin, the heart is filled with understanding. Lashon Mechatech, the tongue serves to chop up the letters as a person speaks to form words. Peg Gomer, the lips, the mouth, puts the finishing touches on it. Veshet Machnes Umotzi Kol Minei Meichel, right, the esophagus ingests, takes in and takes out all sorts of food. And it goes on and on describing the different body parts. And then it says at the end, you can see where it's bolded, the keva, the stomach, has something to do with sleep. Which is why if you had a good Friday night meal, right, and you ate a little more than you would maybe on a regular Tuesday or Wednesday night, you're passed out. The person's like, it's 7 o'clock and you're exhausted. You're ready to go to sleep. Right? The way that we eat affects the way that we sleep. So says the Gemara, yes, keva is associated with sleep. Okay, so we've aligned at least two of the puzzle pieces. We see that somehow the stomach is connected to the way that a person sleeps. But I obviously want to go a bit deeper and try to understand more specifically. I'm more interested at the end of the month of Kislev, as we're about to transition into Chodesh Teves, it's more important for us to understand what is it about Kislev that is connected to Shana, that's connected to sleep. How do we stay awake? What's the avodah of Kislev? So Chanukah really comes, if you understand Chanukah, al pipnimiyas haTorah, Chanukah really comes as the conclusion of what we began on Rosh Hashanah. It wasn't by chance that on Rosh Hashanah we were trying to stay awake. Chanukah is really the finishing touches as it gets dark and it gets cold. Chanukah is that closing opportunity to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu we haven't gone back to sleep. We woke ourselves up on Rosh Hashanah and we're alert, we're engaged, we're inspired, we're connected. And how do we see that Chanukah really is the finishing touches to make sure that as Jews we don't become sleepy Jews? How does Chanukah put the finishing touches on Rosh Hashanah? So it's interesting. The Svarim tells us there's different ways to wake a person up. How do you keep a person awake? Right? How do you get someone out of bed in the morning? You know, you have your teenage son or your daughter, I guess, who you're trying to get up in the morning to get to school on time, to get to davening. So how do you wake someone up? So, of course, on Rosh Hashanah, the way to wake a person up is with the alarm clock. The very holy alarm clock of Rosh Hashanah is known as the shofar. Says the Rambam in source number 6, the well-known words of the Rambam, even though the true reason we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is because God said so by way of the Torah, we all know what the shofar is really trying to say to us, and that is, Uru Yeshena Mishnaschem, wake up, you sleepy Jew. Rosh Hashanah is not a time for sleeping. Try to wake yourself up, investigate your ways, v'chizru b'tshuva v'zichru barachem. Right? Return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember your Creator, and God forbid to be the opposite of that, says the Rambam, those who are shochachim es ha'emes behevle hazman, those who are yoshev batal, those who whittle away their time with all sorts of silly pursuits, not maximizing their lives. Vayehi miketz, and at the end of their life, they look back and they say, shnasayim yamin. Right, I slept away my days. That's how some read it also. Shnasayim, also shena, shnasayim yamin. I slept away my days. I didn't maximize my life. So Rosh Hashanah tries to wake us up with the most basic technique for waking one up, which is an alarm clock. Hashma's call. What happens if Rosh Hashanah didn't work? What happens if you didn't wake up on Rosh Hashanah? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to have to kick it up a notch. Says the Beis Avram, the Slonim Rebbe, quoted in source number 7 by the Skalia Rebbe Shlita. I don't know why I wrote Zuchusi again, Elena. This is the current Skalia Rebbe. His sefer is called Chakima Beremiza, and he writes on his writings on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos an amazing insight from the Slonim Rebbe. The Slonim Rebbe said, in the middle of the first line, Hashofer Ma'orer Ish Yehudi Mitardei Maso Behevle Ha'olam. The shofar tries to wake us up, again, in an existential sense. The shofar tries to get us to be engaged spiritually. Al Yedei Hashmas Kol. Through the sound of the shofar. But what happens if you roll over and you pull the covers over your body, you put the pillow over your head, you hit the snooze button one too many times until it stops buzzing altogether? So says the Slonim Rebbe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Sukkos. What happens on Sukkos? We take the Dalet Minim in our hand, and the Dalet Minim we know from Chazal, the Medrash in Vayikra tells us, it corresponds to different body parts. The Lulav is the spine, and the Esrog is the heart. And as I take those Dalet Minim in my hand, says the Slonim Rebbe, the Na'anua, and through the Na'anuim, as I wave the Dalet Minim, exactly the same techniques you use to get someone out of bed. If they didn't get up from the alarm clock, you come over and you place your hand on their shoulder and you start to give them a little shake. It's time to get up. It's time to engage the world. So when we're shaking our lulav and esrog, we're trying to shake ourselves up. If we didn't wake ourselves up from the sound of the alarm clock of the shofar, so we try to shake ourselves up through the na'anuim of the dalet minim. What happens if a Jew still doesn't wake up? What's the next technique to get your child or yourself out of bed in the morning? Right, this is a good one. I spent a summer, many summers ago, I had the unfortunate task of waking up the sports staff in Camp Masorah many years ago. That was like the worst job ever. That was Shochem Esa'emes Behevli Azman. That was like a big waste of time. But we tried. We tried our best. Right? So I'd come in the morning and I'd do a little clapping, like, okay, Chevra, it's time for Shachris. Like, yeah, right. Okay, so then, so a little shake. That didn't work. So what do you do? What's the next technique? Right? So some people, when I share these three points from the Rambam and the Slonim Rebbe, and what we're about to learn from the illustrious Eger family, very often when I take suggestions from the audience, people say, get a couple, a bucket of water. So it could be that maybe that's the Nisuch HaMayim of Sukkos also. Maybe that's the water drawing Sukkos. But what do you do? What's the next technique? You turn on the lights. I always found that if I turn on the lights in the bunk, at the very least, someone's going to have to jump out of bed to shut the lights before they jump back into bed. And you hope that once they're on their feet for a second, maybe there's a chance at that point they'll have an emistic, moment of Hirhurei Tshuva, and they'll go to Shachris that morning. So says the Shevet Miyehuda, Rav Avram Eger. Who was Rav Avram Eger? I'm sure many of us have heard of the famous, the great Gaon, Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger had a son, Rav Shlomo Eger. Rav Shlomo Eger had a son, Rav Leibel Eger. And Rav Leibel Eger, unlike his father and grandfather, became a chassid. He became a chassidish Rebbe, a shaychus with the Kotzke Rebbe and the Ishbitzer Rebbe. He took a different path than his father and grandfather. Some of the reports about the response to it are a bit exaggerated, as was the way in the good old days when Chassidim Misnagdim really held their ground. And Rav Leibel Eger had a son, Rav Avram Eger. So Rav Avram Eger, in his Shevet Miyehuda, in source number 8, tells us that might be exactly what Chanukah is. If you didn't wake up from the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, and we couldn't shake you up from the lulav of Sukkos, says the Shevet Miyehuda in source number 8, he quotes the Sefer Yetzirah that we mentioned a moment ago, that the month of Kislev is associated with sleep, not because we're supposed to sleep away the month, but because the avoda of Kislev is to try to push back and to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're not going to give in to the natural order of the world, which is trying to put us to sleep on a cold, dark night. Says Rav Avram Eger, in the third line, in source number 8, Ki adua hateva, shechoshech mapil chevle shena. We all know that when the lights are out, it's much easier for a person to fall asleep. Va'or makitz mishena. And light wakes a person up. And therefore he says, why is it that the miracle of Chanukah took place with Or? Because that's how you wake a person up. And Chanukah being, again, the finishing touches of the Yom Noran, is a final chance for us to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're awake, we're engaged, we're not falling asleep. And he says, therefore, the mitzvah is fulfilled specifically when what? When people in the house are awake. A person gets home, unfortunately, very late from work. Right? So in order to be able to light the menorah, he needs other people around. There needs to be persuminisa. You need other people awake. Interesting shaila sometimes, a question of maybe even waking someone so that you can be mekayim in the midst of lighting the menorah. Because the whole essence of the menorah is what? Is that wake-up call. It's turning on the lights to make it more difficult for us to fall asleep. To bask in the light of the Torah, the light of the menorah, right? Orezu Torah. V'hainu lifo bezeh, he writes in the left column, V'hainu lifo bezeh sheyis or ha'adam yishenas ivlato al ner mitzvah v'or ha'Torah. Ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or, to try to bring us into the light, so to speak, of the Torah. The Navi Zechariah maybe adds one more piece to the puzzle. So we've hinted a little bit how the stomach is connected to sleep. We've explained how Chodesh Kislev, specifically the Yom Tov of Chanukah, is really the ultimate way to wake a person up by turning on the lights. But we also pointed out in the Sefer Yetzirah that Kislev is associated with what? With a bow and arrow, with the keshas, with the archer. Says the Navi Zechariah, I'll show you how they all come together. The Navi Zechariah writes in source number 9, Navi transmitted to us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki darachti li Yehuda keshas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki darachti li Yehuda keshas. I have bent or drawn Yehuda like the bow. Milesi Ephraim. Right? So if Yehuda, so to speak, represents the bow, Ephraim, I have filled the bow with Ephraim. So Yehuda is the bow and Ephraim is the arrow. Ve'orarti banayich tzion al banayich yavon. And with this bow and arrow, I'm going to what? I'm going to orarti, hisoris. I'm going to awaken the children of Tzion, namely the Jewish people, against the enemy called yavon. It's mamash acharek pasuk. V'samtich kecherev gibor, and I'll make you like a sword in the hand of a fierce soldier. So you see in this pasuk that somehow the bow, and again we have to think about it a little bit more, why specifically the bow of all the imagery, but clearly the bow is connected to the battle against Yavon. And interesting how again the Navi says, Va'orarti banayich Tzion al banayich Yavon. I'll awaken the children of Tzion against Yavon. This is a very fascinating thing just to look at those words also. Tzion versus Yavon. The difference is Yavon, right, and Tzion, they both have Yud Vav Nun. The only difference is that Tzion has the Tzadi, sometimes referred to as the Tzadik, right up in front. We mentioned, I think, last week that Yosef HaTzadik is the one who we read about in these parshios. That's why Tzion is Gematria Yosef. We said last week also, I think, Antiochus, who's the Melech Yavon, is also Gematria Yosef. That's the Zelu Umazeh. It's Yosef versus Antiochus. Melech Yavon is Gematria 156. Antiochus is 156. Yosef is 156. Tzion is 156. And Tzion is the word that we use in Tanakh when we want to describe, so to speak, the inside track of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Tzion represents the inner dimension of Eretz Yisrael. So we're trying to what? We're trying to awaken, says the Navi, Tzion. We want to awaken our inner desire, our inner will, to be alert and to be engaged to fight against Yavon. Because Yavon is trying in some way to put us back to sleep. We'll discuss in just a moment how that connects so deeply to what was happening in the time that the Beis Hamikdash was defiled. But one final connection to the Sefer Yetzirah, before we try to attach ourselves more deeply to Hanukkah. The Shevet Miyehuda, this time in Parshas Toldos, in source number 10, again, Rav Avram Eger, he says that it could be that the reference to the keshes, the bow, actually also reconnects us to Rosh Hashanah. A link from Chodesh Kislev all the way back to Rosh Hashanah. Because if you look in Svarim, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, sometimes it's described as Tashrat or Tarat, but some Svarim actually use as the code for the sounds of the shofar, they use the letters Tof, Kuf, and Shin. Also known, same letters, Kuf, Shin, and Tof, is Keshes. Right? The Kuf represents Tekiya. Right? It talks about Tashak. Tashak is Trua, Shvarim, Tekiya. So it could be the Keshes also, again, is hinting somehow to the shofar, which again, we understand now the connection between the two, that just as we began on Rosh Hashanah to wake ourselves up and to try to be more alert Jews this year, and to be less sleepy Jews this year. So to the Keshes, again, is a connection, a reminder in the month of Kislev, that it wasn't so long ago we were listening to the shofar sounds of Rosh Hashanah. We heard the Tekiya, that's the Kuf. We heard the Shvarim, that's the Shin. We heard the Trua, that's the Tuf. And therefore, again, he references the Rambam, Ur Yesheni Mishinaschem, to try to wake ourselves up once again. Bai Yesheni ran into a serious problem at about the midway point. Bai Yesheni lasted for 420 years. In the year 213, about the midway point, says the Rambam, historical history sources tell us it was the year 213 of Vayesheni, it was when the story of Hanukkah took place. Which means that how many years was it from the time of the Hanukkah miracle till the end of Vayesheni? Jordan, I'm sorry for all the chazar, you'll have to forgive me. Right, 207 years. From the time that we won the battle on Hanukkah and rededicated the Beis HaMikdash, it was 207 years, which is an amazing number because 207 is Gematria Or. So from the time we lit that menorah, we rekindled, so to speak, our relationship with the Beis HaMikdash for Or, Aleph Avresh, for 207 years. But what happened? How did it come to be that the Yavanim were able to defile the Beis HaMikdash? Why did Hashem fake us out? Hashem didn't take away the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. But Hashem, so to speak, fired a warning shot. So you better be careful. Because if you don't appreciate the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to take it away from you. Exactly what happened. The Kohanim who won the war, who fought back, typically are referred to in Chazal and the Gemara as Zrizin. Passionate, diligent, driven, alert people. Kohanim are engaged. And yet the Kohanim who were running the Beis HaMikdash were bored. They had grown tired of Avodas Beis HaMikdash. They had become a little bit sleepy. The Bach, the Bayis Chadash, in his commentary on the Torah, in the very beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, in source number 11, he says, why did Hashem allow the Beis HaMikdash to be defiled? It was a wake-up call. Aval b'chanukah ikir ha'gzeira ha'isa al shi'is rashlu ba'avoda. Can you imagine? They became lazy of the Avodah's Beis HaMikdash. They were bored of the Beis HaMikdash. What we would do to catch a glimpse of the Beis HaMikdash. Imagine if we walked into the Beis HaMikdash. No one would fall asleep in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, how could you be bored in the Beis HaMikdash? How could you not be excited? But they had gotten used to it. And the Kohanim were growing a little bit sleepy. The Mishnah is described in Maseches Tamid and Maseches Midos, a day in the life of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Masechta begins with the mitzvah of Shmiras HaMikdash. Shmiras HaMikdash, they would station guards, Kohanim and Levim, at various checkpoints throughout the Beis HaMikdash. And it was seen as a very serious offense if you fell asleep when you were guarding the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why was it reasonable to fall asleep when you guarded the Beis HaMikdash? Because the gates were locked and no one was breaking into the Beis HaMikdash. So what did it even mean to guard the Beis HaMikdash? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, guarding the Beis HaMikdash was like the guards, Lahavdil, of Buckingham Palace. It was a sign of kavod. You weren't guards, they were not bad guys trying to break into the Beis HaMikdash on a typical night. But you had to stand there alert, being fully cognizant of the fact that I'm watching over the Beis HaMikdash, I'm giving honor to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm in the presence of the Shekhinah. So how do you fall asleep on the job? The Mishnah says, if someone fell asleep on the job, they would come over, there was a head guard, I guess who was very alert, he would come around, and if you didn't stand alert and say, Shalom Aleichem, right, to show that you were fully alert, fully engaged, so he would take his stick and he would start beating you up, and he was allowed to, the Mishnah says, he was allowed to take your coat and burn it. Right, getting a little too cozy under your nice, comfortable coat. So he would take away your coat, your blanket, whatever's making you sleepy, so you'd be a little colder in the Beis HaMikdash, that would keep you alert. But the Kohanim were becoming sleepy. By Yesheni, the Kohanim had become sleepy. So Hashem says, you don't appreciate Avodas Beis HaMikdash, I'm taking it away. Of course, the response was the Jewish people really woke up. We woke up by the light of the menorah, the miracle that took place at that time. And says the Bach, where it's bolded in source 11, five lines in, they came, they rekindled the menorah, when they became the opposite of lazy Jews, but passionate, dedicated Jews, who were going to fight tooth and nail, a ridiculous battle, rabim biyad ma'atim, right, giburim biyad chaloshim, weak people into the hands, took strong ones into their own hands, when they fought an unbelievable battle with tremendous courage and tremendous zeal, Hoshiyam Hashem al yedei kohanim ovdei avoda, those same kohanim who made the mistake of becoming lazy kohanim, sleepy kohanim, were the ones who had to, of course, fight to restore the Beis HaMikdash, and that's exactly what happened, and we lit the menorah, and the menorah continues to burn bright, recognizing the fact that what? That the Jewish people are awake, we're engaged, and the lights are on. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov used to say, that people of the world tell their children stories to put them to sleep. Tell your kid a bedtime story to put your child to sleep. Rabbi Nachman, who told magnificent tales, all based on Pi Kabbalah, very deep things, can be understood, Pashut stories, just, you know, amazing stories, right? But they were filled with deeper intentions. Rabbi Nachman said, I tell stories to wake people up. Some people tell stories to put people to sleep. I tell stories to wake people up. So I want to tell you just a great story, really great story. And this story woke me up. Shlomo Zalman Orbach once came to a nursing home in Eretz Yisrael called the Neve Simcha Nursing Home. Why did he come to the nursing home? He came to visit his neighbor, a fellow by the name of Mr. Rothman, someone who lived near Shlomo Zalman in Shari Chesed. And he wanted to visit him one time. How do we know this story? We know this story because Mr. Rothman one afternoon was in a particularly delightful mood. Everyone said, like, what's going on with you today? So he said, "Ay, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman is a zoy gut. Ay, er is a zoy gut." So I said, "What? What did Rav Shlomo Zalman do?" So he told him the following story. He said, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach came with his grandson one day to visit this Mr. Rothman. He comes to his room, and he sees Mr. Rothman is sleeping. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says to his grandson, "Wake him up. Zayda, a patient's sleeping, you don't wake him up. Right, we'll come back another time. Wake him up. I'm telling you, wake him up. If you don't wake him up, I'm going to wake him up." Okay, so Shlomo Zalman's grandson goes over and he places his hand on Mr. Rothman. He gives him a little shake. Mr. Rothman opens his eyes and Shlomo Zalman is standing there and he says, "It's me, it's Shlomo Zalman, it's your neighbor from, right, the Gadol Hador. It's your neighbor from Shari Chesed. Came to visit you. Came to say Shalom Aleichem. Wow, Rebbe, so amazing to see you." And they sit and they're talking and they're conversing and beautiful conversation. Mr. Rothman is so appreciative of the visit. And after the whole visit, the grandson of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says to his grandfather, "How did you know to wake him up? Why did you think to wake him up?" And Rav Shlomo Zalman, with his tremendous insight, and he was a person of tremendous insight, Rav Shlomo Zalman said, "He's not sleeping because he's tired. He's sleeping, unfortunately, in the nursing home because he's bored. He's sleeping because he's bored." Right? And if we would just engage him in conversation, you'll see that he's full of life. Right? And that's why that Mr. Rothman that afternoon was said, Rav Shlomo Zalman is a zoygut. He knew what I needed. He knew that I wasn't sleeping, right, because I was tired. I was sleeping because I was bored. Such a powerful story. What happens when Jewish people come to shul and they get bored? They fall asleep. Why do we fall asleep during Kriyas HaTorah sometimes? Why do we fall asleep during the Rabbi's Drasha? Why do we fall asleep in the middle of the shir? If you remember, I once shared that Rav Victor Miller said, I never saw someone fall asleep in an ice cream shop. You see people falling asleep over their Gemara. You never saw someone with an ice cream cone going like this, you know? Never saw that before. Right? So why is that? What puts a person to sleep? Because you're just not engaged. You're bored. You're not tired. Once in a while, sometimes you're tired. Sometimes your mom is tired. Right? But sometimes you're just not connecting in the right way. And that was the tragedy of Chorban, this temporary Chorban of Bayis Sheni. At the midway point of Bayis Sheni, when the Kohanim got bored, they got sleepy. And they needed to fight back, to lift themselves up. Of the four Yesodos, of the four elements of creation, which we learned about in the series a number of years ago, Rav Chaim Vital says, the world is made up, everything is made up of Eish, Ruach, Afar, and Mayim. Of the four Yesodos, Afar, Rav Chaim Vital, the student of the Rizal, writes in the Shari Kedusha, that Afar corresponds to laziness, to Atzlus and Atzvus, to laziness and sadness. The Magen Avram, not the Magen Avram on Shulchan Aruch, but the Magen Avram, the Trisker Magid, Hasidic work, he says, of the four elements, the only one that doesn't move is the earth. The wind moves, fire moves, water has an ability to spread, right? But that clod of earth just sits in its place. And therefore, when the Jewish people had to find that Pach Shemen, where did they find that Pach Shemen? They found it, according to Tosfos, was buried in the dirt. They had to dig into that dirt. They had to dig into that atzlus, that laziness, right? That sleepiness, and to wake themselves up, to shake off that dirt, and to find that ore within, to relight that menorah, that light which wakes a person up, like we learned from Rav Avram Eicher. In fact, the very name of our enemy, Yavon, means dirt. Amazing. Shlomo David HaMelech said in source number 12, in Tehillim in chapter 40, Ve'ya'aleini mibor sha'on, lift me up from the pit of Sha'on, of raging waters, mitit hayavein, from the slimy mud. The word yavein means mud. Yavan is the mud. Yavan, just look at the letters, yod, vav, nun, it tries to drag us down. The yod is a letter that floats above, it tries to live an elevated existence, like the oil which always rises up. And yavan is mamish, the dirt, it's the mud, it's the yod that drags down to the vav, that drags down to the nun, and tries to bury us in the dirt. The irony, of course, is, like Tosha says, that they found the Pach Shemen, and they found that ore buried in the dirt. But again, that's what we're up against as we put the final touches on, across the midway point of the menorah. And we put the final touches on Chodesh Kislev, to shake off that sleepiness again that sometimes takes a hold of us, and to allow ourselves to turn on those lights, that spiritual lights of Ner Mitzvah Torah Or. That's why Hashem gave us these long dark nights. The Gemara says, Hashem gave us these long dark nights for less work and more shiurim and more learning, because of a special quality. Who's in charge of lighting the menorah, would climb up steps on his way to the menorah. It's very interesting. I was just thinking this afternoon. The Mefarshim asked, why does Aaron need steps on the way to the menorah? Imagine if there was like a ladder standing right here next to this beautiful menorah. Right? It would be silly. You don't need a ladder. It's not that tall. The menorah of the Beis HaMikdash was 18 tefachim, right? Which meant that the average height of a person, you didn't need to climb up steps to light the menorah. And yet there was three steps, the Mishnayos tell us, in front of the menorah. Why does Aaron have to climb up on his way to the menorah? Right? And perhaps it's just simply the message of, again, the message of the menorah is exactly that. The message of the menorah is that it's always a climb, it's an ascent. We paskin like Beis Hillel, most of Aholich, one candle, two candles, three candles, four candles, to be more alert, to be more engaged, to increase the aura of my life. More light, the brighter the room is, the harder it is for a person to fall asleep. So Aaron HaKohen is given the special mitzvah of the menorah. Says the Pasuk in Parshas Baaloscha, source 13, Daber el Aaron va'amarte lav Baaloscha esaneros. Aaron, when you light the menorah, when you ascend, Baaloscha, when you walk up those steps to face the menorah, Ya'iru shivas haneros, you should kindle the seven lamps of the menorah. Says the Pasuk, Vaya'as kein Aaron, and Aaron did what Hashem told him to do. Of course Aaron did what Hashem told him to do. What kind of Pasuk is that? Hashem tells you to light the menorah. He's not going to light the menorah. Vayas kein Aaron. What's hinted to in those words? Rashi tells us in source 14, Vayaskin Aaron, Lahagid Shivcho Shel Aaron Shaloshina. It comes to tell us the praise of Aaron HaKohen. He didn't change. He didn't change. God told him to do something and he did it. God said light 7 candles. He didn't light 23 candles. Aaron, what a loyal servant Aaron HaKohen is. Lahagid Shivcho Shel Aaron Shaloshina. He didn't change anything. As if you would expect, says the Sifsei Chachamim in his commentary on Rashi, you would expect that Aaron wouldn't listen to Hashem. What's the Vayaskein Aaron? What's the Vayaskein Aaron? The Sfarim bring an interesting remez. They say the gematria of Vayaskein Aaron is 712, which is 8 times Chanukah. 8 times 89 is gematria of Vayaskein Aaron. Okay, so Aaron planted the seeds of Chanukah. But come on, let's talk Pashto Pshat for a second here. Vayaskein Aaron, lahagid shivcho shel Aaron shel Oshina. Aaron didn't change anything. Of course he didn't change. God tells you to do something, and God speaks directly to you, the way Aaron HaKohen communicated with Hashem. What's the Havamina that he would change? The Rebbe of Jikov, in Source 15, the Imre Noam, says maybe B'derech Drush or B'derech Hasidus, you could say a little bit differently. Maybe, Lahagish Shivcho Shal Aaron, not Shaloshina, but maybe Shaloshena, that Aaron didn't sleep. Says the Imre Noam in Source 15, the one who lights the menorah is the one who wakes us up. Ki inyan hadlakas ha-menorah b'layla b'miktash. Why do we light the menorah in the base of Mikdash? V'chi la'ora hu tzarech? Says the Imre Noam, quoting the Gemara, the Gemara's question, does God really need our light? Hashem, who lights up the whole world with the sun, needs our little lamps? Raki yishlomar b'zeh, shezeh haya b'chadei la'ora es b'nei Yisrael. Shelo yarbu b'sheina. The way Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach woke up that Jew and said, I know you're not just tired, you're just bored. And if you'll be more engaged, there's so much life to you. Chaval, to sleep away your life. Ayihi miketz shnasayim yamim. How sad it is to sleep away our lives. So Aaron HaKohen would come to the Beis HaMikdash to what? To light up the souls of Klal Yisrael. Every night, ka'otzel, right? We shouldn't, God forbid, sleep away our days. Ka'otzel al mishkavo, like a lazy person in bed. Rakis oru lamo lishabeach ulefaer elayotzer, to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kumi roni balayla, says the Imre Noam. Vezeh hoya al yedei hadlakas haminor. And that's what the menorah accomplishes. Ki betevahu asher or haner eino maniach lishon. When the lights are on, says the Imre Noam, it's not possible. Imre Noam, the grandson of the Rupshitz Rebbe, it's not possible for a person to sleep. Kamo mi shehu bechoshech vafeil, like a person who's in the dark. And again, that's the fight that we're, so to speak, waging today, in the days of Hanukkah, to try to, again, to be a little bit more engaged, a little bit more awake, with a little bit more light in our life, a little bit less in that unmovable cloud of dirt that Yavain, the Yavan, represents. Asher oz miskaber lav koach hashena, when a person's asleep, so then, unfortunately, he misses out on life. And that's lahagid shivcho shal Aaron shaloshena, that Aaron was the one, not just that he didn't change from the Dvar Hashem, of course he did that, but Aaron did it with a sense of enthusiasm every day. That's also the Pashup Shah, Loshina. He didn't change what? He didn't change his enthusiasm. Not just that he didn't change from the Dvar Hashem. Of course he did it, but he did it with the same passion every day as if it was the first day. And right now, quotes the Pasuk that we're going to read in the Haftorah this Shabbos. And it mamish ties in so beautifully to everything we learned tonight. The Navi Zechariah in the fourth parak, in Source 16. The Navi Zechariah, when he sees the vision of the menorah, but we forget there's a pasuk right before that. Vayashav hamalach hadover bi, the malach came to speak to me. Vayareini ki'ish asher yeyor mishnaso, and he woke me up like a person waking up from his sleep. And then the malach says to him, Vayomer elai, ma taro, what do you see? Vayomar ra'isi v'hinei menoras zav kula. I see a menorah entirely of gold. The vision of the Zechariah, the vision of the menorah. But of course it's prefaced by what? By the Navi waking up. And the more a person wakes himself up, the more he attaches himself to that beautiful world of the menorah. I heard from one of the rebbeim who I work with in Heichal HaTorah, Rabbi Staum, Rabbi Daniel Staum. He said a couple of years ago, he took his son to shul on Simchas Torah, and was calling to Arim. And he's standing under the talus with his son. And of course, as is the practice, right, for calling to Arim, and get the aliyah, and then you sing Hamalach. So his son turns to him and he says, I don't know, he calls him Daddy, Abba, Tati. He says, I think I know why they're singing Hamalach. It must be because the Torah is going to sleep. Right? So they're singing Hamalach because the Torah is about to go to sleep. So our Stam said, it was such an important teachable moment. So he says to his son, he says, my son, the Torah never goes to sleep. The Torah never goes to sleep. We sometimes go to sleep. The Torah never goes to sleep. That's the famous words of Tosfos in Maseches Brachos and Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, where Tosfos says, even if you said Birchas HaTorah in the morning, and then you went to work your 9 to 5, and you came back to this shir tonight at 8:15, right? So why don't I say a new Birchas HaTorah before I sit down to learn? And the answer is, because even though I wasn't actively learning Torah all day, the Torah doesn't go to sleep. The Torah never goes to sleep. And the Hamalach is not because we're putting the Torah to sleep. The Torah is always alive, the Torah is always awake, there's always more to do, there's always more steps to climb on the way to the menorah. And there's always more lights to add to be Mosif Aholich. Moshe Weinberger mentioned to our Shir in YU a couple of years ago when he was speaking, he said when he first got married, he was learning in a kolol mechanchim. And he said there was this African-American janitor who would come around the Beis Medrash. And he said he used to see Rav Weinberger and his chavrusa learning all the time. He said the janitor's name was Rab. And he used to say, when are you guys going to finish that book already? You know, you're always sitting there with that big book. When are you going to finish that book and go do something else? Rav Weinberger said, how do you explain to a person who doesn't understand that there's no finishing the book? Right? The book, even when we close the book for the night, the book doesn't sleep. The Torah is always awake. The Torah is always engaged. Chanukah is the time where we renew our commitments from the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, from that nap we didn't take on Rosh Hashanah afternoon, to commit ourselves once again to continue to grow in that way. So I want to end with one final story that Rav Huttner tells in the final source, in the Mamari Pachad Yitzchak on Sukkis in Maimon and Zayin. He says there were two students at the Chiddush Arim who were dancing one Simchas Torah. And the Chiddush Arim pointed to the two students and he said, we're going to daven Ma'ariv in just a minute. He pointed to the two students and he said, this one's going to lose his energy before that one. This one's going to have to sit down from dancing and this one's going to be able to dance the whole Simchas Torah. And he was right. Kachav. So they said to the Chiddush Arim, how did you know? He said, because I could sense that this one was dancing in celebration of the Torah that he learned this past year. And he learned a lot. He's a big Talmud Chacham. But the amount that he learned last year is still limited. This other one is dancing over the Torah that he plans to learn, and the Torah that he could learn, and the Torah that he hopes to learn, and that's infinite. And to dance over such a thing, there's an infinite amount of energy and drive and just being awake. So Amir Tashem, again, as we continue to light our menorah each and every night, we should think about these lessons to make sure that we don't chas v'shalom become lazy, lackadaisical, and fall asleep. That we shouldn't be bored, we should understand the opportunity that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us to engage His Torah and to engage His mitzvos. And Amir Tashem, if we can be alert Jews and awake Jews, we can shake off that sleepiness. And Amir Tashem, Isnari me'afar kumi, to rise up from the dirt, to return to Eretz Yisrael with the Gula Shleima b'mehera b'yameinu amen. Have an amazing Shabbos. Nefreya lechem Chanukah. Do you have a minion for Ma'ariv? If not, starting right next term.